So today's Heart Talk is on being happy versus being right. And this title, just by itself, it seems so logical, right? Well, of course, I want to be more happy than I care about being right. But how many of us are guilty of doing the opposite? I know I have been many times, right? We get stuck in the fight of our own ego's identity or the protection of something, or for whatever reason we think that we have to get this right, otherwise we'll never be heard again. I think this is one of the biggest fears that people have. It's not being heard, not being seen, not being witnessed for who you are or accepted. And so you fight. You fight for your identity, and that identity is tied to this idea of being right. But in the process, you lose out on something, and that might be the very thing that you desire. I see it all the time. People get into these arguments and fights and all this stuff. And how many of you have had this happen where you're in the middle of an argument with somebody, and especially if it's like a romantic partner, because that's where the emotions are really thick, right? And at some point, halfway through the argument, your mind goes, wait a second. Oh, I made a mistake. They're right. Now, what do you do at that point? Are you like, oh, I'm so sorry. Silly me, you're right. No. You double down, don't you? You're like, well, I'm not going to let them know that they're right. There's this weird thing of identity, and it's so funny, especially in relationship. Because in relationship, what is the point if not to be happy in love? To be growing together, to be moving towards something similar as a team rather than an opposition. But more often than not, that's the very thing that comes. Christina and I do a lot of relationship coaching for people. And the couples that come to us, so often, they want the same thing, but they just have a different pathway to it. And they want to be right about their pathway. And they forget about the goal. They forget that on any team, there's always different players that do different things and do it differently. But when we're trying to be right, we're essentially making everybody else wrong. I want you guys to let that drop in, because this is really important to note. That when you're trying to be right, you're making everybody else wrong. Now, how do you think that makes people feel around you? Do you think it gives them safety to express, to communicate, to drop in with you deeper? Probably not. If they're afraid that every time that they want to express something that's true for them, doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong, but if it's true for them, and by the way, there's infinite number of truths out there, right? Depends on our own history and perspective. That when you're doing that and you're not opening the space for another to also be right in their truth, then you're creating an unsafe space. And this causes the closing down of things. It causes any goal, any dream that you have, the feelings that you're seeking, such as happiness, it puts obstacles and speed bumps in the way. If not complete blindsiding. So we look at this topic today of being happy versus being right. And maybe we have to even just ask ourselves that question of happiness, because I think we fight so much more for our identity than we do for the feeling that we want. And it's a weird dichotomy that happens. And maybe it's because, and let me know if this is true for any of you, sometimes we don't really feel that we deserve to be happy. That we haven't earned it. We haven't done enough, suffered enough, been challenged enough, grown enough, are old enough or young enough or strong enough. We have so many reasons that get in the way before we can say, ah, yes, okay, I did it, I did enough, I achieved something, now my identity is at this level where I wanted it, now I can be happy. But the funny thing is that it's like an escalator that's never stopping, you're just going and going, your goals never end. And so happiness is always a rainbow that's just a distance away. You can look at, you can dream about, but you're not embracing it. I actually like that idea of a rainbow, because a rainbow is a spectrum of so many diverse colors, right? It's all the many truths, all the possible right ways or wrong ways. It doesn't matter. It's depending on the alignment, the implementation, the association, whatever it is in that moment that aligns. Maybe one color to another color in that moment. But if you can embrace the entire rainbow, then suddenly you don't have to chase it, but it's already there with you and you can feel it. And this is the tricky part about happiness or any feeling that we desire, is we so often put it outside of us. We think it's something we have to move toward and prove ourselves worthy of to feel. It's a funny thing. We do so many things, from people pleasing to working our butts off to whatever it is to try to achieve something that says, okay, now the world and its, you know, benchmarks tell me I can be happy. But in that moment, it's not the world that comes along and stamps approval and says, okay, sure, you have permission now. It's you who justifies it and goes, okay, now, because I did this, now I can be happy. But everything in life is impermanent. That's the scary part. Things are coming and going, right? And so as soon as you achieve it, you're like, okay, I did it. I can be happy for this millisecond, and now I have to start proving again. I have a theory as to why that's happening. This whole proving mentality, this desire to be right, as I've been mentioning, it's about identity. And I look at identity kind of like being, if you took a cup and you filled it with some water, and that water is all the experiences of your life. It's all the different things that you've gone through, the beliefs, the things you've been taught, the things you learned yourself, the things you like, the things you don't like, and you just put it in there. You're filling up the cup. And at some point, you start to become attached to certain elements of your identity, your personality, right? And in that attachment, it's almost like the water freezes. It becomes this ice cube. And now you have this frozen piece of ice, and you forget that the cup exists. You forget the container in which it was created or held. And what happens to a piece of ice if you just put it out in the sun? It starts to melt, right? It starts melting away, and as it melts away, the tendency when your identity is melting away, when that impermanence of life starts to affect who you think you are and who you've become, and it's always going, instead of allowing that, because you remember the cup is there, the cup is your true essence, the rest is just your conditioning, but you've attached to the conditioning, and so you start going, oh my God, I'm dissolving away, and you start adding. You start putting more things, more layers, more achievements, more certificates, more whatever, to try to keep that sense of, I still exist. But it's because you got confused, you started to think that who you are was the thing inside. That's the expression that comes up. But who you are is the potential of anything. It's the cup that's holding it. Can I share a story with you guys? I love sharing stories. It's funny, with my clients, I'm always like, look, that's a story. You've got to let it go. Here's a new one. So here's the story. Years ago, back in San Diego, California, I used to live there. I've been in Bali for about 14 years now. And back then, I went with a bunch of friends to go hike Mount Whitney. It's one of the tallest peaks in the continental U.S. And we all went, and we went up this huge mountain. It took us 3 days. And I didn't really go prepared. I wasn't really much of a hiker at the time, at least recreationally. And we get towards the top, and you have to think, because I didn't come prepared, one, I had pants that were too big, no belt, I was wearing flip-flops, bad idea. Originally I had taken steel-toed combat boots, that was even a worse idea. Somebody lent me the flip-flops. But we made it to the top, and I was so proud. I was like, whew, I did it. And I remember at the very top of the mountain, I saw this beautiful rose quartz, a different rose quartz. A beautiful rose quartz, and I was like, oh, I'm going to take this as a memento, a memory of what I've achieved. And I took it and I put it in my pocket. We started to make our way down the mountain, and it was these switchbacks to go back down, which means it's going back and forth. And at the end of each switchback, a lot of debris and rubble and stones and twigs and other things have been pushed over there to clear the path, which means there was a lot of really interesting stones and things at every single corner. And so what was I doing? I was like, well, that's kind of nice too. I'll take a little bit of that. Oh, look at that. That's a, oh, that twig looks like Elvis. I don't know. You know, I put it in my pocket and I kept collecting things. And I was wearing cargo pants. So you have to imagine, I looked like a chipmunk by halfway down, where I had pockets that were full. I was putting some in my breast pockets. I had my backpack, putting some in there. And I'm walking down and I'm waddling because my pants were starting to fall down. And I was like, right. And I get to the very bottom of the mountain with my friends. And a park ranger was down there just to greet us and congratulate us on the achievement that we had done on this hike. And she comes along and she's shaking her hands. She's like, well done. I know it was a tough thing. I know it was a struggle coming down. What is going on with all your pockets, sir? And I was proud because, you know what? We become proud of our struggles, don't we? In life, the things that we go through, the challenges, whether it's externally proud or internally, we hold on to them like, yeah, you see what I survived? See what I did? See how worthy I am because of that? And that's what I was feeling. And so I was proud. I took out the stones. I was like, yeah, I'm taking them home. I'm going to put them on an altar. And I'm going to remember every day the struggles that I went through, the things I did to achieve what I know I could. And she kind of looked at me with a gentle smile. And she said, that's very, very nice thought. But we have a policy here at the park. I was like, okay, what's that? What you find in nature, you leave in nature. Oh. Well, just a few of these. Can I just take a few? No, I'm sorry. And we got into an argument. We actually went back and forth because I wanted to be right. Because I had struggled to be right. I was invested in it. Finally, as she was starting to call other rangers over, I'm like, okay, fine. I'll take it all out. I'll leave it. And so I took it all out of my pockets. I started to walk away. And she's like, thank you. I'm really proud of you. Can you empty your backpack as well? Oh, come on. Because we always keep a little bit for a rainy day, don't we? So I emptied it all out, and when I finally did, and I started walking back towards my friends, you want to know what the feeling was? Light. I felt lighter. Not so heavy or weighed down. And I think that's the difference of what we're talking about today. When we're fighting to be right, we have to not only go into a fight, which means that we're going in with weaponry and we're carrying all this stuff and these are our comments, these are the ways we're trying to make other people wrong, but we also go in with shields and protections and barriers and defenses. And if you think of like old medieval times and they're all this armor, right, and they're walking around. In the movies, they always seem to be walking around like it's light as ever. It's not. That stuff's heavy. They were probably walking around like this. We're going into battle. Don't run away. I can't catch up. Stop running, right? That stuff's heavy. And so is the defenses and the barriers and all the things that you've been carrying around because you thought you were in a fight in life. Let that one sink in. How many of you have been thinking that in your life, in the day-to-day, even from the moment you wake up, that you're fighting to experience whatever you get to experience that day, to have what you want that day? What if instead you could just be choosing it? You could be giving yourself permission that you don't have to fight and prove yourself to anybody else but yourself. It's kind of like a concert pianist, some amazing musician. They'll go up and they'll start playing this amazing concerto and everybody in the audience is like, oh. And they walk off, they're like, I totally messed up. Ah. Because in their perfection, and I think that's the problem, is we're trying to prove ourselves perfect. Not going to happen. None of us are. I'm going to say that again. If you're trying to prove perfection, you never will. Because perfection is arbitrary. Perfection is always by comparison. And in the moment that you reach whatever you were comparing against, you'll see something else to compare against. I love to say that instead of reaching for perfection, reach for progress. Reach for progress. I'll give you the practical tool of that. Christina and I, when we do relationship coaching, one of the things that we say is absolutely, like, really, really essential to any relationship working is that both parties are willing to grow. The willingness to grow. And that is the encapsulation of progress. But if you're thinking, oh, if I could just achieve this, if I could just reach this, if I can just get there, and then I'll be perfect, and then I can have everything I want, and I can feel everything that I desire, you're looking for this perfection that causes you to stop growing. And if you stop growing, this is a reality of nature, then you're doing something else. You're dying. Inside, physically, mentally, emotionally, right? It's one of the reasons why statistically when people retire, they tend to have a very short-lived span of life after that because they no longer have a purpose of growth. They no longer have meaning in their life if they're not creating it. So to continue to grow, to have progress, this is the only thing you have to ask yourself as to whether you're worthy of enjoying the life that you have. And it's not really about worth because that's also arbitrary. It's about choosing, giving yourself the permission. This word permission is a tricky one. I use it quite often. I've got a framework. I call it the APE method, or APE. It's acceptance, permission, expression. And we start with acceptance because you have to understand where you're starting from before you can go anywhere from it. You know, I think a lot of times we look at acceptance and we confuse it with the word tolerance, right? Especially in these spiritual worlds and circles, you know, if you're having a tough day and you go to a friend and you're like, yeah, this and this is happening and this and that, and they're like, yeah, you just got to accept it, man. And you're like, well, that sucks. Why do I have to just accept this, right? That's tolerance, and it's also spiritual bypass. When I say acceptance, what I'm talking about is recognize the reality of this moment. Recognize the reality of this moment. Don't make it a story. Don't interpret it. See it for what it is. Most of us don't do that. Most people are escaping the reality of this moment, whether that's through experiences or substances or mentalities. People are in avoidance rather than in recognition. And normally the thing that we are investing into is a history. Isn't that interesting? A history, meaning that it's something from your past that you became identified with and you're holding on to. And you might think, no, no, it's who I want to become based on what? Your past. And so acceptance is to come into this moment neutrally, presently, and say, oh, okay, this is what's going on. This is where I'm at. For anybody, if you're working your way towards a certain financial goal, one of the things that I always hear people do is they're like, yeah, I just wish I had more money, then I could have more freedom and I could do more things. I go, wonderful, well, how much do you have now? Well, I don't know, I don't want to look. No acceptance. They're not recognizing where they're starting from. If you don't know where you're at, how do you know what steps to take to grow, to progress, to allow yourself those feelings of happiness and joy along the way? So first step, acceptance. Another way I like to describe acceptance, I really want to make sure this is clear, because until you are present in this moment, you can't do anything else. Until you've let go of the stories and interpretations of your situation, you can't deal with the reality. And so acceptance is like your home base. It's like, have any of you ever ordered something from Amazon or Tokopedia if you're here? Right? Anything online that you've ordered? Right? And there's a process that you go through. You go online, you're looking for something, you have an idea of what it is, right? Maybe it's a self-help book called Who Are You by Rodolfo Young. It's on Kindle. And you go and you look for this and you find it. You're like, yes, okay, there it is. And you hit purchase. Now it goes to a page that's a wonderful page, and you have this page in life as well. It's called the review page, right? It's not like you hit purchase and boom, done, it's already there. You get to review it. You get to take a moment. And I think a lot of us forget that we get to do that in life. We think, but if I accept the situation as it is, then I'm stuck with it. That's just how it's going to be. No. Now you get to review whether that's how you want it to be. And so maybe you've reviewed it and you go, okay, yes, that's the book I want. And you hit confirm. And it goes to the billing page. This is the investment you make in life. Everything requires your investment, whether it's your time, your energy, your resources, whatever it is, it requires that. But you want to know the trickiest page. It's the very last one. Shipping address. If you have not accepted the reality of this moment where you are presently, then every resource, every support, everything that you are asking for from life, and you're saying, yes, deliver it to me. And life is like, okay, where? I don't know, because I keep running away from it. Acceptance is becoming situated at home, at your home base, your shipping address, where you can be found, where you can find yourself. So that's where it begins, is with that, acceptance. And I said it was a three-step framework. We go acceptance, and then there's permission. Now, permission is to allow for possibility. Imagine you made that order and the delivery person comes, but you forgot about it because maybe you made it and then you got into your insecurities and your doubts and distractions. But then all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. And you're like, wait, what is that? Who did I order? I don't know if I ordered anything. Maybe it's not for me. It's probably for the neighbor. I shouldn't even answer it. How many of you have done things like manifestation boards or visioning and things like that? And like you put so many affirmations and all these things. Maybe it was to find the love of your life. And you're like, yes, yes. And then they showed up the next day. And you're like, whoa. No, I'm not ready. Not yet. Happens all the time. Because we might have accepted where we're at. We might have even realized what we want, but we haven't given permission to have it. Huh. Permission is to open the door, and regardless whether you think it's for you or not for you, to simply be like, there's abundance out there. But most of us are looking through a filter of life, a filter of our own past, our traumas, our histories. And it's like looking through that little lens in the doorway, right? The peephole. Soft often has a little magnifying glass in there, which means that whatever you see outside is distorted. You're not seeing the reality. You see this delivery person, it looks like a monster. You're like, nope, not opening the doors. You close your blinds and you're like, nah. And you escape into your comfort zone. And you're just sitting there with nothing changing. No progress, no growth. And you sit there wondering why you're so imperfect, why things aren't working, why you can't get the things that you want or feel the way that you want. And eventually you get so stuck into that and you're angry at yourself. That funny enough, somebody comes along and says to you, hey, I think you could be happy. Have you ever tried to? No, I'm doing it the way I'm doing it and that's it. Like, don't bother me. Now you're fighting to be right for an identity that's not even serving you. How often does that happen? I get clients doing that all the time. It's hilarious to me. Because they come and they've got years of suffering and challenge and they come to me, they pay me good money, and then I offer them a different approach. And they're like, no, I want to do it the same way I've been doing it, just can you change the result for me? No. Doesn't work that way. You got to change what you're doing. What if I try harder? Nope. Tell you guys another little story about that. I have a philosophy or a way of life that says change in mode, not in degree. Change in mode, not in degree. And years ago when I was still in college, I used to assist the philosophy department and the religious studies department. And I'd be giving these review sessions for like up to 300 students, these big auditoriums. And one day I was giving one of these reviews and there was a gentleman that was way, way in the back. And I didn't have a microphone at that time, and he shouts down towards me, he's like, hey, could you speak up? Can you speak a little louder, please? And I sort of shouted back, and I was like, sure, I'll try. I didn't change my voice at all. I wasn't going to strain my voice. And I continue, and about 10 minutes later, he's like, I still can't hear you. Sure, I'll try a little bit more. Continued at my normal voice, because again, here was the thing. There were some free seats right up in the front. He didn't have to be all the way in the back. Finally, he got up, and all very frustrated, he's like, he comes down, he sits down right in the front. And I continued talking and sharing whatever the review material was. And at some point, I looked at him, I said, oh, can you hear me now? He's like, yeah, perfectly. Couldn't from up there. And I think it dawned on him in that moment. So often in life, we are trying to have the degree, the amount, how hard we try to do something. We increase that, thinking it's going to change the result. Here's how things work. If a certain thing is causing a certain result, if you do it harder, you create more of the same result. Right? You don't change the result, you just make more of it. Which is also why I'm often sharing with people, if you've been living in avoidance, in challenge, in fights, then you're inviting more of it. Because those are the seeds that you're planting in your life. But what might happen if you simply changed the mode in which you were acting? Instead of fighting to be right, you started opening to being wrong. And you know what being wrong means? That if the way you've been doing it hasn't been creating the goals and the results that you want, by being wrong, you might hear a new perspective and possibility. You might become aware and exposed to the potential of something that could actually allow you to feel the way you want to. That's the beauty of being wrong. I love being proven wrong. I really do. Because it means I get to grow. The only thing that ever gets in the way of any of us getting to grow and being wrong and opening to something new is our attachment to identity. And maybe that's because our identity is also tied to our survival, right? There's a sense of, this is who I believe I am. This is what my history has made me. How many of you believe that your past has made you who you are? Anybody? All right, I tricked you. I don't think that's true. People always say it. My past has made me who I am. The things that happened and the this and that, that's the, because of that and the conditioning, that's who I am. No, your choices make you who you are. Your past brought you to where you are. I'm going to say that again. Your past brings you to where you are. Your choices make you who you are. There's a power in that. Because the moment you realize that you are not held by the identity of your history, but rather you have infinite potentiality of the choices you get to make forward. And you can change everything in an instance by just choosing. And I know the mind goes, well, if I want to be happy, I can't just choose to be happy. Why not? Why not? Our minds are so tricky. Our minds are like, but what if I was upset because somebody did this to me? Okay. Why are you letting that continue to make you upset? Why are you stuck on the attachment of what they did to a past identity? It's not who you are today if you choose to be different. If you choose instead to move forward in your own life and not be held by circumstances of your past. Now that doesn't mean that you justify or excuse the actions that are taken around you or your own decisions and choices. If they didn't serve you. But it means you don't get held captive by them. And for sure that you don't fight for them. Because again, that's what happens when you're fighting to be right. Most of the time, it's not even that you're really trying to fight to be right. You're desperately fighting not to be wrong. Being wrong is to admit something that most people don't like to admit. And it's probably one of those things that for a lot of people, it's really scary. It can be a struggle if you resist, but it can also be the most empowering thing that you do, and it's to embrace three very simple words. Those words are, I don't know. I don't know. It's amazing when you embrace those words, because you know what happens when you say, I don't know, and you really realize that you don't know? You can find out. It gives you the space, the opportunity to be curious, to explore, to investigate, and to find out what was really there, what's there, or what could be there. How many of you, you're here in Bali, and maybe you're posting stuff on Instagram, you've got friends or family back home, and they're seeing these beautiful images, and they're like, oh, I wish I could go to Bali. And you might even be thinking to yourself, you could. I made the choice. I didn't think I could, but here I am. But you also know the struggle it took to overcome the fear of, but I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know if I'll have enough money while I'm there. I don't know if I decide to stay, which half this room will be doing, I know, right? How I'm going to do it. I arrived to Bali 14 years ago with $27 in my pocket. But imagine if I had not gone because I thought, well, I don't know how I'm going to make money there. I don't know what the legalities are. I don't know how I'll get around and this and that. Oh, never mind. I'll just stay in my comfort zone. To embrace I don't know is what gives you the courage to take the risks outside of what you've been fighting for, which has been holding you back, and instead allows you to grow into what you truly desire, which is life. Now, along the way, we want a certain thing, and this is, I think, why we fight for our identities, because there's a familiarity there, right? That's why it's called a comfort zone. That familiarity gives us a certain sense of control and certainty in what I'll call security. Security is an illusion of the mind. It says, if this stays the way I think it is, like maybe it's a job, and you're not even happy with the job, but you're like, yes, but it... As long as I have this job, I can pay my bills. And I don't know how else I would pay my bills, and I don't want to find out, so I'll just stay here. And you remain unhappy, fighting to be right about your choice to be there. Or you can look and accept the situation, give yourself permission for something to change, to allow for change, permission. And in that, then begin to be curious as to, okay, how could it change? And in that curiosity, you start to take little baby steps. Little movements towards what you really want in life. And when you do that, you move from security and certainty to something else called safety. See, we seek security because we think it gives us the sense of calm and ease that we all really want at a depth of our own nervous system, right? We want to feel safe. We don't want to feel like we're threatened at our survival level. We want to feel safe. But instead of actually allowing ourselves the consistency of moving towards that safety, that feeling, what we really desire, we keep hedging our bets on certainty and security that is outside of us instead of within us. And because of that, we can never really feel safe because the power is now outside of us instead of in us. We do it in our jobs, we do it in our relationships, we do it in our interactions. Confidence is not something that you get to build up and then take action on. Confidence is because you took action and built the confidence. You start to trust in your own actions, which means your mind, because there is a physiology to this, right? Our mind is built to help us survive, which means that it's always on the lookout. It's like, okay, is that a danger? Is that a danger? Well, that person looked at me funny. What's going on? Right? And it's always looking because, you know, back in caveman days, there was a necessity to be very focused on the dangers in life because your survival really physically counted on it. But today, if you're sitting in this room right now at a heart talk in Bali, Indonesia, getting to listen to a man you've never met before talk about, you know, esoteric philosophies and emotions, I think you're safe. But your mind hasn't sent the memo to the rest of your body and the rest of everything else to say, hey, the battle has been won. You're safe now. We're not fighting anymore. Body's like, are you sure? Yes. And the moment that you have that, and if you can really drop into it right now, I want you to feel this. You're safe. And I even see it, even as I say it, there's several of you that started to smile with relief, with ease. Maybe, dare I say it, happiness. Because maybe the thing that's been chasing away happiness the most is the belief that we still needed to fight for it. Our resistance to just allow it. So I invite you to something right now, that every moment that you notice you're not letting yourself be happy, I want you to look at the reason that you give yourself, because it'll be a story that your mind is giving you. And that story will almost always be based on something from your past. Some conditioning, something you were told, something you learned. And I want you to be like, yeah, that was then, this is now, I choose happy. Give yourself the permission. We come back to this framework, acceptance, permission. The last one, expression. It happens automatically. You see, when you start to give yourself permission, when you start to allow things to change, and you do that because you feel safe, you can only really do that when you feel safe. And as you start to feel safe, all those structures of protection, armoring, defense that you had put up because maybe at one point there was necessity, start to come down. And as they come down, it's paramount to the same thing as you opening the door, opening the blinds and the curtains and the windows, and letting yourself be seen and heard and witnessed, which loops us right back around to the beginning of the conversation. That was one of the biggest things that you really, really wanted, was just to be heard, to be seen and accepted. How can that happen if you never show yourself authentically, fully and vulnerably? Now again, I caveat that, when you feel safe. And then that's expression, is to be seen for who you are. And each of you is unique, and that's the beauty of authenticity. And in that uniqueness, it also means that you each have a different truth. And in that different truth, you're all right. Isn't that funny? You were fighting all along, and all you had to do was relax into the safety of your own being and authenticity. And like that, the rightness, or the alignment, I'll call it, which I think is a better word, the alignment happens. You know, we never fight against something that we are fully aligned and embracing. Right? When there is knowledge, when we know something to be true for ourselves, and it doesn't matter if anybody else agrees with us, when we know it's true for us, we don't really fight for it, right? If somebody came up to me and was like, your name's not Rodolfo, it's Bob. I'd be like, okay, if that's what you want to think, I don't care. I'm not going to fight for it because I don't need to. I know my name's Rodolfo. But how often are the things that we fight for really the things that we're not quite sure is true for ourselves, but we're just fighting to be right instead of to be correct, aligned, balanced? So the question being, you know, let's say you figure out, okay, yes, I choose to be happy, but then somebody else comes along and makes you unhappy. This is an illusion of projection. Nobody makes you unhappy. They can trigger you. They can, coax you and bribe you and manipulate you and all sorts of different things into choosing to be unhappy. This is why they say the greatest power that we have isn't to control our external environment, but is how we respond to it. And so no matter what is happening outside of you, you can still choose to be happy. I can give you an example. I was in the military for 6 years, special ops, many years ago. And in my deployments, we were in places that weren't very happy. I wasn't happy to have been sent there. I wasn't happy having to do certain things that I was being ordered to do. But you find within yourself how to find your own happiness. I was the one guy in the tent. We had like 20 people in this big tent, sitting at the end on my cot meditating to find my own peace of mind. We choose how we find our own feelings, our own ease, and then can also choose our actions from there. But when we are reacting to an external stimulus, as you're saying, somebody else might make you unhappy, all they did was presented you with an option, a suggestion, and then you took it. You don't have to. There's a great story about Gautama Sakyas, the original Buddha, and, you know, when he was still on this 3D realm and he was walking around teaching, and he was pissing off a lot of business people because he was teaching certain things. He was also pissing off a lot of religious leaders because he was teaching how to find your own joy and enlightenment within. And so they got together, these business people and other leaders, and they're like, we gotta get this guy to stop. He's making people happy. They're no longer dependent on us. And so they sent one guy. They said, okay, look, we're going to draw straws. And one guy got the unlucky straw. And I said, you go talk to him. You be careful. Don't let him ask you questions. He's very sneaky, very wise. I said, okay. So he goes. And he comes to the Buddha and he says, now you listen here. I have something to tell you. And don't you interrupt me. I will tell you now. And so the Buddha says, yes, please. Share. And the guy goes on and on with all the despicable things the Buddha was doing, how bad he was for the community, how he was ruining people's lives and telling them lies and all these different things. And the Buddha is just sitting there listening, calmly, taking it all in. And at the end, before he reacted or even responded, he simply said, may I ask you just one question? And the businessman looks at him, he's like, well, I've already said what I needed to say. One question can't hurt. Okay, one question. And he said, if somebody gives you a gift that you don't need or want, what do you do? Well, I don't accept the gift, of course. Why would I accept the gift? I don't need the gift. Oh, wonderful. Then I don't accept your gifts. This is all you have to do. Somebody does something or says something that makes you want to feel unhappy or react in that way, don't accept the gift. Acknowledge it. Maybe even say thank you. But don't take it in. Don't make it personal. That's the point. Don't make it personal. There is very little in life that comes at us that's personal. I don't think I've ever met anybody who ever woke up in the morning and was like, you know what, today I'm just going to really mess with that person's life. I'm going to make them miserable. That's what I'm going to do. Now, they might wake up and be like, that person wronged me. They made me unhappy. I'm going to get them back. You see, it's not really about them. It's about how they felt and what they're choosing. So when we realize that, when we realize nothing is personal, by the way, there's a Heart Talk recording on that from a few weeks back on not taking things personal. When we don't take things personally and we just realize that it's never about us, but it might involve us, then we have the power to start to respond instead of react. And our response can simply be to remain in whatever feeling we choose. And hopefully that feeling is in alignment with that moment and you and your values and your desires. So what is happiness? If I just let go of being wrong, if I stop resisting, will I be happy? And here's the beautiful part about it. It's not a definition of benchmark, or we can't like say, okay, when these things align, then you're happy. But I can guarantee that you'll be happier when you're not fighting against something. Resistance, for me, is the root of all suffering. Because life is always moving forward. Life is always changing. Like we talked about earlier, it's impermanent. Every expression of life is morphing and evolving. When we accept that and we move with it, there is an ease, there is a flow. There's contentment with what is. When we resist it, there is friction. And so maybe we can define happiness as the absence of friction. The absence of friction. You know, a lot of times it's going to be difficult to just accept if somebody else is right and be okay with that and essentially almost be defeated in it, right? When maybe you still feel that it's right, not that you're right, but it's right. But this is where it gets tricky, because it's actually, it's right for you. And it's owning what our beliefs are, owning what our values are, owning what our stance is, that actually hopefully gives us alignment. Along with that, hopefully to also give yourself the space of curiosity to know what else is possible. So it's to say, okay, I accept what you've just shared, it's correct. And from my perspective, this is also correct. But how could they unite? Right? How can we find the wisdom in both? Obviously, there's things in the world that seem very clear right from wrong, right? Some atrocity or some terrible thing, a crime, a murder, genocide, all these different kind of things. You said something just now which shares with me that the same thing we're talking about with acceptance as being tolerance gets misunderstood a lot. He said, well, we can't just accept those things and just go for happiness. I agree, 100%. That's spiritual bypass. You don't want to do that. Don't ignore what doesn't feel right for you. But don't think acceptance is tolerating it. Acceptance is understanding the reality of it. The reality of what your effect can be and can't be on it, right? And so, for instance, one of the things, and this is a personal perspective from mine, when I see people being activists and protests and things like this, different if they're making solutions, but most of the time, they're just pointing at the problem and bringing awareness, but still, they're not doing anything else about it. And this is where they're just trying to be right. What would happen if they take that same energy and they start creating solutions and even quietly just start building and cultivating those solutions? Because eventually, that builds enough that the older system will fall away. This remains. But if we're busy fighting systems and people and things that we don't feel is right, then we're exhausting ourselves and not making much of a dent. Spend that time being in the energy that you want to be, right? Not just saying and convincing yourself that you should be. Actually be in it. Embrace the possibility, the permission to yourself, so that you can start building from that. When we fill our own cup up, and we start filling it and filling it and filling it, and even be selfish about filling your own cup, by the way, I mean self-care with that, honoring your truth, honoring what's true for you and how you express and your authenticity. When you do that, eventually it starts to overflow. That overflow is what affects the rest of the world. But when we're trying to just convince people of something, it's because of a doubt and insecurity within ourselves of just being that thing. And then we're pouring from an empty cup and we're all losing. You know, I said resistance is the root of suffering, but friction is needed. We need a little bit of discomfort and friction to grow. I think of it like going up a mountain. If you have a really smooth incline, you'll be like, you're not going anywhere. You need a little bit of friction to grasp and to move forward. There's a fine balance. And again, it's about resistance, not, I'll say, dismissing, right? So if we just completely dismiss all resistance, all friction, all these things, we avoid it, which is also just a form of resistance, then yeah, we're not going to go very far. But if we can accept the reality that friction is there and move with it, not resist it, but move with it, right? So we use the maybe a little bit of rough edge on a slope to grasp and move forward. Now we're moving with, not against, life. All right, we're a little over the hour, so I'm going to summarize what we've been talking about. First, thank you everybody for these questions. They've been really, really good. We've been talking today about being happy versus being right. And we started to find that being right tends to come from this place of identity and attachment, this desire to fight for our survival because we believe that our past somehow made us who we are today instead of just bringing us to this place. And then we have to ask, what is this place? And that's acceptance, to recognize the reality of this moment. Also with the recognition that this moment is going to change because of impermanence of everything in life. Things are wavelengths moving forward all the time. And instead of resisting it, that's like trying to surf and go against the wave. Not going to work. Go with the flow of life. And when you do, that's allowing for change. Now you can start to direct that by actually choosing and realizing the power you have to choose. The feelings that you want, the direction you want to go in, what you want to cultivate and grow. And even if it is something that you want to change in the world, how you get to cultivate that. Not by resisting, but by moving with the resources that are there. And as you do, instead of having to fight to be right, you can choose to be happy. Instead of feeling like life is always a battle and having to get up exhausted thinking, oh, here we go again. You can get up and be like, what am I going to grow into today? And so the choice starts to become easy, but maybe not the action. And so let's start from there. Know that you have the choice. And another invitation and a reminder that the way that you get to start taking the action is with baby steps. You don't need to make great leaps. That can be scary and unsafe. But a little step creates that safety that's necessary. Because in that safety, the barriers that were both for your protection but also your limitation start to come down. And you can start to step out of the comfort zone, or let's say expand. You don't even have to leave your comfort zone. Just make it bigger. Become familiar with more possibilities in your life and potentials, and suddenly all the things that you want are right there and just one choice away. And you can choose to be happy. Thank you, everybody.